The Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the top of a new hour here on Live Bet Saturday with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. Joining you for the next 2 hours to cover a busy, busy sports Saturday. We got pretty much everything in action here. The NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, U.S. Open Golf is chaotic as ever. We got Ryan Gilbert covering the Stanley Cup joining us later on in the show. But right now, let's get you some baseball scores. Blue Jays leading the Phillies 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. My Angels first five money line bet, it's in danger now. The Orioles leading 3-2 after three innings, and they scored those runs with two outs. And it got started when Adley Rutschman reached first on a wild pitch. So just kind of some bad luck there. But still scoreless in the bottom of the third between the White Sox and Rangers, although Texas has loaded the bases with two outs. The Rays and Mets should be throwing first pitch soon. I believe they were in a rain delay. Top of the fourth in Houston, the Stros leading the Twins 2-0. In Kansas City, through three innings now, the A's leading the Royals 2-0. In Milwaukee, the Cardinals leading the Brewers 1-0 in the middle of the third. And in Atlanta, the Braves leading the Rockies 3-0 in the bottom of the third. So even though we thought it might be a good place to back the Rockies, Will, I am glad we didn't.
Sometimes the best bets are the ones you don't make. That was a good stay away. And I thought about Strider under K's, but he's racked up a bunch. So glad I stayed away from that one. Feel differently with A's Royals, where I was just a lean to the A's in the first five, getting half a run. They're up 2-0 here as we head to the top of the fourth. So that's the opposite, where, man, kind of wish I pulled the trigger. Under 2.5 in the first three, Astros Twins wins 2-0 here in the fourth. And I think we've got a no hitter going for Hunter Brown. And as I say that, Minnesota gets a base hit. So Brown was through 3 2/3 here with of no hit ball. He's been fantastic for the Astros, but he gives up a base hit here. So a two out runner for the Twinkies. St. Louis leads Milwaukee.
Can we call it a no hitter if it's only, like, I think you have to wait till the fifth inning to call it that.
Okay. He had not allowed a hit, though. He had not allowed a hit.
That's fair.
Just stating facts.
I know, and I was about to get mad at you for almost jinxing it, but you lucked out. Let's get to these night games, though. And I know this is a series you got your eye on as a Yankees fan. Yankees Red Sox. New York, a big favorite here tonight with Carlos Rodon towing the rubber, -175. Boston is +144. They are throwing the rookie Hunter Dobbins. What do you like in this one?
Not much. Rematch of the Sunday night baseball game just a few days ago, 5 days ago, and the Red Sox won that game. All of those games went over. Red Sox have beaten them 3 out of 4, so Yankees are playing well. Red Sox have had a disappointing season, but I don't know if it's because the rivalry or whatever. These teams meet up, and the Red Sox seem to give fits to the Yankees. Rodon's been good. Struggles at times throughout his career with the home run ball. Red Sox hit lefties. That's a tough ballpark to pitch in, especially if you do struggle against lefties. Or just, I should say the Red Sox hit lefties well. Dobbins isn't great. I haven't played it. If I had to, I'd probably just go over the 8.5. I can't lay $1.75 on the road against the Red Sox. I don't want to lay the run in a half. Maybe a Yankee team total over. I do think they'll bounce back and score a bunch of runs off Dobbins. Red Sox, look, Rodon's been good. Rodon's been good, so I don't want to say anything bad about him, but that hiccup last start was not concerning, but I never quite trust Rodon. So over 8.5, if anything, but I have not played it as of yet. Is this anything that is it going to entice a bet out of you?
I have not played this game. I was trying to find some type of under, actually. I do like Rodon. So maybe a Boston team total under. It does look like Hunter Dobbins is due a little bit of positive regression. He has a 4.20 ERA, but a 3.89 FIP and 380 xFIP. It's kind of hard to say with him. You know, he's a young guy. One thing I do have to give him credit, though, really low walk rate. It's under 5%. That obviously helps against a lineup like the Yankees. But I do like everything I've been seeing with Rodon. The fastball is what the risk has always been for him, but he's actually decreased its usage, and he's increasing the usage on his changeup and sinker instead. And it has helped the fastball. Earlier in the season, it had an expected WOBA over 350. It's now back down to league average, which, you know, I know average isn't great, but compared to where it was before, it's an improvement. Right. I'm with you. I like the Yankees here, but I can't lay $1.75. So I don't know. It might be a stay away for me. If I can't find some type of under
hitters too. Once you've seen a pitcher, you know, this is going to be the second time in 6 days. I think that's always advantage hitter, because you've seen, you know, the arm angle,
that's
the velocity,
fair.
You know what pitches he likes to throw. I always think that's a favor in favor of the batter. So any sort of under strikeouts, I'd be afraid of. And I think Dobbins had a weird stat line Sunday night against the Yankees. I can go back and double check, but I believe he had no walks and no strikeouts over five innings, which, man, you could watch a lot of baseball. You could see a lot of games. A starting pitcher going five innings and not striking anyone out and not walking anyone is a very unusual one. But just keep in mind, these two lineups did see these two pitchers very recently, and often that does favor the offense. Although we saw a rematch last night, Crochet versus Yarbrough, second time in 5 or 6 days, same scenario. And it was a pitcher's duel. It was 1-0 into the bottom of the ninth. So it doesn't always apply, but it is something where I do like to stay away from the pitchers if the lineups have just seen them recently.
Yeah, definitely a fair point to make. That line you were talking about, Dobbins went five innings, allowed 3 earned runs on 4 hits, no walks, no strikeouts. So not quite a quality start, but yeah, definitely a weird one. Next we have the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Arizona, a big favorite here as well, -172, as they throw Zach Gallen against Ryan Burger, the 25-year-old, making his debut season in the majors. You like anything in this one?
$1.72 for how bad Gallen has been. I could only look towards the Padres either getting a half a run in the first five, or well, that was a cool graphic. Did you see that graphic? Our graphics department. That was I like that one. Padres getting a half a run in the first five, or Padres on the money line will be the only way to go. Gallen has been bad. He was always been a guy who kind of outperformed his metrics. That has caught up to him this year. I'm sure you're going to pull up the stats here, because you do a good job analyzing all of these numbers with these pitchers. Gallen has just been a disaster. Laying $1.80 with him, $1.70 or so, can't get there. And plus, Martinez just went on the IL, one of their only good relievers, really good arm. He's out for the year. I think he's having Tommy John, so you're not going to see him forever. On top of Burns being hurt, their bullpen's bad. Gallen's been bad. Maybe a Padres team total over. This would be pro Padres bets or anything. I think the more I think about it and talk about it, Padres getting a half run in the first five. I haven't seen much of Burger. We don't have much of a data sample on Burger, so I don't really love the idea of backing a pitcher I don't know much about, but I don't want any piece of Gallen at this price.
Oh, man. Yeah, some of these games are tough today. I agree with you. Gallen has not been great. His underlying metrics have been declining for the past three seasons, and now we're finally starting to see those actual results match the underlying metrics. His four-seamer, which he throws 50% of the time almost, has been a below-average pitch for the last three seasons. So that's kind of the problem there. He has a high walk rate. It's actually the highest it's been since his rookie season. So obviously that's alarming for a guy whose fastball is already not producing well, and it only sits at 93 miles an hour. So, yeah, don't feel good about him. Don't feel good about the rookie either. So this one, I think, is just kind of a stay away. I was looking at some model projections today. They do have the under 9.5, which I think could be fair just because 9 is such a key number. The roof should be closed today in Arizona as it's above 100 degrees. So I don't think I'll be betting that, but I think I would just lean the under. It's kind of a scary under, but yeah, probably a stay away in that one for me. Next, we got the Guardians and Mariners. This one a little bit closer. Seattle -141 on the money line. The Guardians +118. Low total here of 7, as we got Tanner Bibby and George Kirby.
I like under. I'll pay the juice for the under three in the under in the first three. What is it 3.5 for the first five? I don't love that, but at seven you're going to get a low total here. But I don't know where the offense comes from. Kirby has not been good, but he is super talented, and we saw last time out maybe he's shaking off the rust from the injury, which kept him out for most of the season. 14 strikeouts his last time out, so his stuff is really good when he's healthy. Looks like he's healthy. Bybee's always a guy I've liked more than not. So to me, this has all the makings of like 1-1 after 5, 1-0. I think we get a pitcher's duel here. I like staying away from those full game unders because who knows, once you get to the bullpen or extra innings, ghost runners, things like that, your under can be looking good until it doesn't when you get into extras. But I think we get a very low scoring start to this game.
I agree with you as well. I was going to say the under 7, but you know what? Since this game is expected to be so close, I'll join you there, either on a first 3 or a first 5 under. Let's get it out of the way early. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the United States and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. All right, coming up after the break, let's get into the Stanley Cup Finals, shall we? More sports betting on the way. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. Caitlin Clark making her triumphant return from injury. I believe it was a quad injury she was dealing with, but the Fever playing the Liberty today. CC scores 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds as the score now final. Indiana wins 102-88, handing the New York Liberty their first loss of the season. They had been 9-0 heading into this one. Indiana wins as a plus 170 underdog on the money line, plus 3.5 on the spread. Good to have Caitlin Clark back, Will.
Good to have Caitlin Clark back. She's so exciting, so fun to watch. And that is a hell of a performance. And how about plus 170 for only a 3.5 point dog? That to me jumped out more than anything. Usually a 3.5 point dog, you get like 130, 140, maybe 150. Yep. 3.5, you get plus 170. That's a nice bang for your buck there. But yeah, great to have her back. Incredible performance. I wish. From a WNBA standpoint, I don't know why they have it where their season goes so long where they end up going against the NFL and they're in the fall and it kind of gets lost. But great to have her back, and she is just about as exciting a player in either men's or women's basketball to watch. She's really that good.
Definitely. Some more WNBA scores here. Minnesota beats the LA Sparks 101-78, covering as an 11.5 point favorite, going over the total of 163.5. Tonight, Golden State takes on Seattle. Seattle, a 10-point favorite on the road with a lower total of 154.5. I want to look at the betting splits over on VSiN.com here. The DraftKings betting splits seem to favor the Valkyries here. 67% of the bets, 83% of the handle on Golden State to cover the 10 points. Let's go back to the U.S. Open now, where J.J. Spahn and Sam Burns are still the co-leaders at 3-under. Carlos Ortiz right behind them at 1-under. The only three players in the tournament right now to hold an under par score, but Burns, the plus 280 favorite to win. Spahn is 3-1. Ortiz and then Tyrell Hatton, who is not even showing on my TV right now. I have to go actually to the leaderboard online to see where he is. But they're Ortiz and Hatton, plus 750.
Yeah, Hatton, 3-under for the day, even par for the tournament. And he is another name that has emerged. If you're just sitting here following the leaderboard based on the live odds, you're seeing a lot of Burns, a lot of Spahn. It was Hovland for a while. Ortiz has emerged recently. Hatton has emerged recently. And Scott is 12-1, and Hovland is now lumped together with those guys in the 12-1 range. Ben Griffin, Scheffler back to 16-1. What is Scheffler at right now here? That he is, because he was 22-1 last week, updated this. Scrolling through this, he is now at plus 4. still a good seven shots back. I mean, I would just, I don't know. I would need more than 16 to one. Seven shots back is asking a lot, but he's Scheffler. He's great. Mm-hmm. I understand that the number is always going to be shaded, you know, more than what you think or less than what you think. But just not enough bang for your buck with Scheffler, but going to be a weird leaderboard if we're looking at a Sunday at the U.S. Open with Burns and with, you know, the Griffin and, Hatton and some of these guys. Spawn has just been steady. If you had to make a bet right now on any of these guys, Carlos Ortiz, if you had to make a bet on anyone outright, who I gave you a free $100, who are you putting it on?
How about Tyrell Hatton? Liked him pre-tournament. It's just – I need someone who's already up there at the top. I don't think there's going to be any massive movers here. This guy, Carlos Ortiz, I'm clicking through some of these scorecards today. I'm going to go ahead and assume he's the only bogey-free round today because I haven't seen anyone else. He has four birdies on the day. Adam Scott, though, has scored a 70 of 70, and he's even today. How funny would that be if he wins the tournament with four straight 70s. Personally, I would love that. This thing about the Scottie Scheffler odds, I wanted to go back to this because we had mentioned, playing him in the finishing markets instead of outright. And even though the books are giving us longer odds on him to win outright now, they're not giving us anything in these top five, top 10 markets because right now, he's minus 300 to finish in the top 10. You look at other guys who are priced that heavy, you know, it's the guys at the top. Carlos Ortiz is the closest here at minus 400, but his odds to win outright are 8-1. Half of Scottie Scheffler is 16-1. Scottie Scheffler is plus 120 to finish top 10. I mean, everyone else who is close to that in the top five market is much shorter outright odds. So the books are not, they're not going to give us anything here. So even, I know I recommended that live betting him in the finishing positions. We're not getting a fair price, so I would not go that direction now.
No, I agree. Houston, by the way, Minnesota and Houston, that is now tied 2-2. So I had first three under. That was a winner. I also had first five under 3.5. That is a tough loser. A game that was scoreless in the fourth. 2-0 headed into the fifth. I probably could have just hedged and said, you know, played over a half a run in the first five and gone for a middle. Obviously, I didn't. I didn't see who hit the homer to tie it, but Brown, who was cruising through the first three, hadn't given him a hit until two outs in the fourth. He has now relinquished the lead, so it's 2-2 here, top of the fifth. Minnesota still batting. And Rays-Mets is underway. That is, looks like, scoreless here still. Bottom of the second, Rasmussen against McGill. Good pitching matchup. Rasmussen is underrated. McGill's been solid. All the Mets pitchers have been solid. So scoreless here in the second. St. Louis up 4-0 on Milwaukee. Look at your Angels, 3-3 in the fifth, second and third, one out. So you've got a chance here. You need a sac fly or a base hit and then to just hold serve here in the bottom half. But you're in good shape here with your Angels. That one is 3-3 all knotted up. And how about the White Sox up 2-0 on DeGrom? Rangers had a bunch of chances to score, couldn't get anyone home. And the White Sox scratch across two runs in the fourth here to take a lead on DeGrom is big, big underdogs. They were, I don't know, 3-1 dogs on the overnight. I know they got bet a little bit in, I think Texas closed minus 300, but still you could have gotten a fat price there on the White Sox, if nothing else, in the first five. And that looks like it's at least on its way to cashing here.
Yeah, that was another one of those games where I thought, do I want to fade the big favorite here? If the White Sox were pitching a veteran instead of this rookie who has made one start in 19 appearances, I would have considered a White Sox, like a little sprinkle on the money line, but just couldn't do it with Mike Vassell. Just not enough data on that guy. But I do think DeGrom was due a little bit of regression here. The underlying stats were not as good as his 2.12 ERA shows. So that 2-0 score, I mean, it's, you know, top of the fifth, but still not too surprising, I don't think. And it was Brooks Lee who scored that home run in the Twins Astros. Rays Mets, I did play that under 7 at even odds. So scoreless in the bottom of the second. We're good. Let's keep it going. We also got some other sports in action today, Will? The good old UFL, everyone's favorite sports league. I won't even lie to you. I didn't know that was happening today until our producer told us. Thank you, Rick. But we got the Michigan Panthers, a 3.5-point favorite against the DC Defenders. That's where my family's from. I suppose I should care about that. What are your thoughts on spring and summer football?
I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts? What kind of defenses do you think those teams will play? Give me like your 3 or 4 favorite players on each team and I'll react and I'll just tell you if I agree or disagree.
I actually want to look. I need to know who is on these rosters.
I saw the MVP of the league was Bryce Perkins, who is a Virginia quarterback who had like a cup of coffee with the Rams, I think bounced around in the NFL. So there's going to be some names you recognize, at least at the quarterback, if you're a college fan and you're just
Jordan
a really
Tamu.
Big NFL fan. But yeah, there you go.
There, I know one name. QB out of Ole Miss. I don't know if he's the defender starter.
Yes.
He actually was their starter for a few years. I know he actually, you know, I'm pretty sure he trains here in Nashville.
I used to love betting these leagues. The problem is you got to start these leagues in February when the Super Bowl ends because people are starved for football. There's nothing to watch on Sundays. You know, we were sitting here doing these shows on Sundays. There's not a lot of college basketball on Sundays. The winter is where it's at. Once you get to April, May, June, people are on to basketball, NHL, you know, playoffs, baseball, basketball. People are just on to other sports, so it does get lost. So I don't have a play here. I know probably under, if anything, these games, it could be hard to score. Half-empty buildings. The defense is a lot of times ahead of the offense.
Yeah.
So the under or nothing for me in this game.
I did find
the under just for fun.
I did find the coolest name ever. The quarterback for the Michigan Panthers out of Northern Illinois, Rocky Lombardi.
Oh, okay. I remember him.
Yep.
I think he went to Rutgers for a little bit, too. I remember I had money on him on college a bunch of different times.
Look at us. Yeah, no, I used to bet the XFL a lot, but it just doesn't hit the same. All right, coming up next, we're going to go to the ice now. Talk some Stanley Cup Finals with Ryan Gilbert from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Oilers-Panthers Game 5 coming up soon. This is Live Bet Saturday. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. Time to talk some stick and puck now. Welcome in Ryan Gilbert of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network to the show, joining us on the Progressive guest line now. We got Game 5 between Florida and Edmonton tonight. But before I get your thoughts on this game, I want to get your thoughts on this series overall. It's been chaotic. It's been beautiful with 3 of the 4 games going to overtime. How have you felt about it so far?
Yeah, this has been the rematch that we expected. We saw this matchup last year, and now we're seeing these teams back at it again. And dare I say, they're even better this time around. The Panthers getting Seth Jones, Brad Marchand, Oilers having Draisaitl and McDavid both being powerful, getting some depth scoring as well there. And I mean, if you're not a hockey fan, this series can make you a hockey fan. It's got overtime. It's got double overtime. And even the other game, it was entertaining enough where the third period kind of went into some shenanigans there. So a great series so far. I'm thinking we might go 7, and hopefully we do.
So the Panthers are up 2-1, and they're up 3-0. The Oilers score, 5 out of the next 6 goals and win the game. What happened from that point forward? Is there a fundamental change in strategy and personnel, or is it just the fact that it's hockey and runs happen, and it was more that sort of thing with the Oilers coming back and winning that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of both with Knobloch going to Cal Pickard there to start the second period. For some reason, he just gets in there, he energizes the team, and they're able to, like you say, you know, come back and tie it, have that lead late in the third, and then win it again in overtime. And the key thing there for the Oilers were, you know, getting the depth scoring. McDavid only had 1 assist in Game 4 there. You had Podkolzin, Wallman, Nurse getting in on the scoring. So if you see that depth scoring from the Edmonton there, I mean, they don't have Zach Hyman. That's obviously a huge thing. But, I mean, you can't let your foot off the gas against either of these teams. We've seen both teams have epic comebacks in the playoffs this year and past year. So, I mean, if a team is down 3, it might be a good live spot to take them on the money line, maybe a +2.5, like something like that. It's been a very back and forth series so far.
You mentioned the goaltender switch for Edmonton. Calvin Pickard now 7-0 in this year's postseason, but they've been kind of trying to figure things out between him and Skinner. So who is in net for Edmonton tonight, and how quick do you think the hook is for either one?
Yeah, it looks like they're going right back to Pickard again tonight after coming in relief, putting up good numbers there. And like you said, 7-0 so far in these playoffs. He has yet to lose in the playoffs. And the broadcast talk about it, like he's been out of the league. He's been, you know, playing for his hockey life. So he doesn't feel the pressure of the Stanley Cup final. He feels the pressure of going out there. You know, this is a good opportunity for me. Years ago, I was playing in lower levels. So he goes out there. Oilers play better in front of him, but he has, you know, had a few leaky games at home, allowing 4 and 3 goals in those games at home. So I do expect the leash to be pretty short. You know, if the Panthers go up 3-0 again, maybe we see Skinner back in there, because sometimes all it takes for Skinner is getting, you know, a period off, 2 periods off to, you know, reset his head and get back in there, because we've seen him come back in after, you know, Pickard went down with injury and had a few shutouts there. So Pickard's going, but I feel like Edmonton is confident in either guy.
Ryan, the Conn Smythe market, let me know what you think about it. It's Bennett plus 150, Dreisaitl is 2-1, and then McDavid is plus 350. Then there's a drop-off. Marchand is the next closest guy at 16-1. Is it as simple as the first three? Is there a long shot? Is there a bet to be made here if you're interested in the Conn Smythe?
Yeah, I think there are, you know, a few long shots we could see. We see Matthew Tkachuk there around 25-1. He was, you know, 100-1 or longer before last game. He had 2 goals and an assist. You see Alexander Barkov down there at 75-1. You know, the captain, the leader of the Panthers. He had 2 assists last game. If he has, you know, another multi-point game, I think he's right down there with Marchand and Tkachuk, if not shorter, depending on what Sam Bennett does there. And then on the Edmonton side, yeah, I mean, coming into the series, it felt like it was just McDavid, but now you have Dreisaitl as the leader on the Oilers side after scoring his playoff record 4th overtime goal. He also has an overtime assist, but I do feel like this could be the peak for Dreisaitl. McDavid coming off, you know, 2, you know, bad games for him on the road, only 1 point, and coming back home, I think he has a multi-point game tonight, and I think if the Oilers win, he'll be the favorite again for the Conn Smythe.
Ryan Gilbert, host of the Hockey Gambling Podcast with the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, joining us here on Live Bet Saturday. We know the scoring can come from anywhere for both teams. Each side has now had 10 different players score a goal. Any way you would play these prop markets, whether it's points or actual goal score?
Yeah, so I mentioned it right there. Connor McDavid to have 2 points. It's probably around minus 110, minus 115 there. But anytime he goes on the road for a pair of games and then comes back in the playoffs, he's been dynamite here, especially in these Stanley Cup playoffs here. Also going to be looking at Sam Bennett. He has 12 road goals in as many games. He's only been held off the score sheet in terms of a goal, I think, twice on the road in the playoffs. Both of those were in Toronto, so he hit the post in overtime of Game 4. I think he gets back to being hungry there. Also going to target the third line for the Panthers. That's the Marchand, Lundell, Lusterainen line there. Maybe a point stack with 2 of those guys, 3 of those guys. We've seen Marchand come up big on the road. And then for the Edmonton side, it's been the Evan Bouchard, the Bouch Bomb show. He's been firing pucks left and right at the net, had 7, 8, and 9 shots in Game 1, 2, and 3. So I wouldn't mind a shots on goal ladder for Evan Bouchard there.
Ryan, minus 110 either way, pivotal Game 5. Who wins?
Yeah, my gut is telling me the Panthers, just because we've seen this team bounce back so many times, but I think the Oilers here, they opened, you know, minus 120, got up to minus 125 or so. You're getting them at a pick'em at home. They've been tremendous at home in the playoffs. They've been tremendous at home all season long. Obviously, Panthers can go on the road and win, as they have done all spring into the summer here. But I think if you have to make a bet for this game, it's going to be the Oilers at minus 110.
32 combined goals in this Stanley Cup final so far. That's the 4th most in Stanley Cup final history. It keeps going over. We're seeing the 6.5 again tonight. Is there any point where we start fading these high scoring games, or do you think, are we betting overs the rest of the way?
I thought last game we might get a sneaky under there, and it looked like it early with Stu Skinner coming up big. But looking at these games, you know, both of these teams are getting tremendous chances. The expected goals have been 8-9 goals each game. So we've seen these goalies, you know, allow 4 or 5 goals, but it's not necessarily on them. So I think we're getting 6.5 again. We're getting, you know, pretty much a pick 'em there at -112. So I think the over has to be the way to look here. Home team and the over. So that's what I got for that.
What about these quick hit bets? People like the instant gratification goal in the first 10 minutes. Yes is the favorite, -175. If you want to get daring and bet no, you're getting +135. Goal in the first 5, you're getting more bang for your buck, +185 if you think there's a goal in the first 5. Any way you'd attack those two markets?
Yeah, I mean, the first periods have been absolutely flying. Last game was the only one where there was no goal in the first 10 minutes. I believe there was a goal in the first 5 minutes, first 2 or 3 minutes of the other 3 games. So, yeah, like that goal in first 10 at -175, or the goal in first 5 at plus odds there. You know, get a quick winner in your pocket, hopefully, with both teams looking to set the tone early in a pivotal game 5.
We're all hoping this goes to a game 7. Right now, the series winner, they're both priced evenly here, both -110. Who do you think is ultimately lifting the Stanley Cup at the end of this thing?
Yeah, kind of the same thing as I feel about tonight's game. Like, I think the Panthers could get it done, but the Oilers in a pick'em, having home ice advantage, they've said they felt like if it was a home ice at game 7 last year, they would have won. That was a 2-1 game, so it'd be very fitting for the Oilers to win here in 7. So we have back-to-back years, both teams winning in 7 on home ice. So I think that's the way I got to go for this one.
Would love that. Ryan, let us know where we can find your work.
Yeah, you can follow me on X at rgilbertsop. Also, of course, on the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. As you mentioned, you can toss us a follow at hockeysgpn.
Awesome. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with your bets tonight and enjoy the game.
Yep, thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Ryan.
Great stuff. Before the line moves, the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You are not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sports books or full-time professional bettors on your own, but with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered right to you on email or X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on their website. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. We're going to give you some of our Sharp Plays when we come back after the break. Headed back to the baseball diamond after this, and an update on the U.S. Open. You're listening to Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We now have 4 players under par at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Hovland just drains a long putt to move to 1 under. He is 2 strokes back of the lead. We both have tickets on him in some form, Will, so this is great for us.
Yeah, and he is now +450. This is basically about as short as I've seen him. He started the day +550, drifted out at 12-1. Was about 60-1 before the tournament. So +450, doing a very, very good job of getting my hopes up, where he will inevitably stomp on them with both feet, twist a little, and then, I don't know, maybe kick me again after. So not optimistic if you can't read between the lines. But, hey, you got something at 60-1. It's +450. You got to feel good about it. But just feel like he's getting my hopes up. He's teasing me. I feel like he's teasing with me. He's messing with me a little bit.
These are the moments where I remind myself to split my bets pre-tournament.
Yeah.
So you always have the cash out option, and then you can ride the other one. And I always forget until you're stuck in this moment.
Yeah.
So now we know. But yeah, so this has been quite, I mean, he's in it. Looking at some of the other leaders at the top here, though. So it's still J.J. Spahn and Sam Burns tied at the top. Burns is plus 240 to win it. Spahn is plus 320. Spahn has two birdies and a bogey on the day. Burns is even for the day. Rasmus Nirgaard Pedersen was someone I was watching because, I mean, this has to be the only time all tournament someone shot four birdies in a row. He did that from holes 4 through 7, but then he gave them all back. He's 1 under on the day. Hovland, we mentioned him at plus 450. Fourth shortest odds are Carlos Ortiz out of nowhere. He shoots a 71 in round one, a 72 in round two. He is 4 under on the day. Right now, the only bogey-free round out there. He is plus 650. Then it's Adam Scott, who is still even on the day, so he could go 70-70-70. He is 12-1 to win. Tyrell Hatton is 14-1. And then we see the drop-off. Ben Griffin, who has won two tournaments this year, 25-1. Scottie Scheffler all the way down at 25-1 as well, even though he has tied for 14th at 4 over. Getting better every day, 73, 71, 70. He is plus 160 to finish in the top five, which are still unfair odds. But the longest odds we've seen for Scotty in quite some time. So setting up to be an interesting final round tomorrow. This tournament promised chaos, and it is delivering. Going back to the diamond tier. Oh, go ahead.
What number do you have on Hovland?
Let me log in. I got him at double digits.
Like live or before the tournament?
I think I bet him after the first round. Okay. Honestly, I can't
remember. They're offering me a 7X my stake for the cash out. They're offering me 7 times what I bet.
Oh.
I wish there was a cash out button. I wish there was a go to hell button. I would tell them to go to hell. I'm not taking your 7X cash out.
Good for you. That's on business. Okay. Back to the baseball scores now. This is just it's not a bad beat. Maybe a sad beat. Angels Orioles was tied 3-all after 5 innings, so I push on my bet. But then second pitch in the top of the 6. Angels go long and they lead 4-1. So that is sad.
4-3.
Bottom of the 5th. Yeah. Oh, that's what I meant. Bottom of the 5th, Blue Jays and Phillies are tied at 2 apiece, although the Phillies have a man on third with 2 outs. Bottom of the 6th in Texas, White Sox leading 2-1. The Rangers with a man on first, no outs. My under, looking okay here in Rays Mets. They started late after a rain delay in the bottom of the 3rd. This is tied up at 1-all. 2 outs, no one on. Twin Stros, another one we expected to be low scoring. They are in the middle of the 7th here, tied at 2, so 4 total runs. I bet the under 7 could be close. Hold on, I've got to click into this box score. I want to see how far these pitchers went. Okay, Hunter Brown's, okay, he went, whoa, 7 innings, 12 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's good.
Joe Ryan, 6 innings, 5 strikeouts. The thing about Hunter Brown, I've been saying this for a couple weeks. He's been putting up fantastic numbers, and he wasn't even playing at his peak yet. He had just been dominating via fastballs, and his breaking balls were not getting the results yet. So I have to dive into his game today. But 12 strikeouts tells me everything is coming together. Gosh, that's nuts. What else we got here? My internet is slower than yours. Top of the 7th in Kansas City, the A's leading the Royals 3-0. Top of the 5th in Milwaukee. Wow, big score here. Cardinals leading the Brewers 7-1. And bottom of the 6th in Atlanta, the Braves leading the Rockies 4-0. Any live bets you're interested in?
I will make you feel a little bit better, maybe. The Orioles now lead 5-4, so they answered in the 6th. So I don't know if that makes you feel any better that the Orioles did answer. White Sox down 2-1. It looks like they've got a man on base in the 6th. somebody on the A's just went deep to take that from a 3-0 game to looks like a 4-0 game. We mentioned how Quintana was a prime regression candidate. The ERA was 2.66 entering the day, but all of the other stats, hard hit contact, all the, you know, the swing and miss stuff, you knew that at some point that was not going to sustain itself. He, you know, he had a rough outing here. As it looks like the Mets are about to take the lead 2-1 with a, Nimmo looks like with a go-ahead single here as Lindor scores. So Mets with a two-out rally here. Beatty hit a homer to tie it. Lindor doubled, and now Nimmo with an 0-2 single with two outs. So a lot of two-out magic here for the Mets.
You know what? I have to go check on my walk. Nope. Okay, so I was banking on that Christopher Sanchez walks prop. He had hit it in 10 of 13 starts. Of course, today is the day he does not. Is he still out there though? They're in the top of the six. Yeah. All right. He's still out there. We got time. It's fine. We got a few minutes here. Let's go to some of these late games and touch on those again for those who missed it earlier in the show. Yankees Red Sox tonight. Obviously a lot of familiarity between these two teams. Something that'll make you feel good as a Yankees fan will is teams in revenge spots. The system says good teams that lost by a small margin to the same team the day before are 63% straight up the following day. So that would point to the Yankees winning tonight, although they are -175 on the money line. Not sure you actually want to lay that.
I don't. It's expensive. Red Sox play the Yankees well. They just saw Rodon. Granted, the Yankees just saw Dobbins. I think that's just too expensive of a price to lay in a game like this. If I had to play anything, I'd play over 8.5. I don't think Dobbins has great stuff. He had a very weird stat line the Sunday night game where these teams just met last weekend. Zero walks, zero strikeouts. Very strange to have that kind of line. I think the Yankees would hit Dobbins. Red Sox probably good to scratch some runs off Rodon. Yankee bullpen hasn't been great. Plus they're taxed. Williams has pitched. Hill has pitched. I mean, they've really, without Weaver, they're thinner than they are at full strength, obviously. Plus those guys have been used relatively often here. The last few days, they had a couple close games where you use your primary guy. So if anything, it'd be over 8.5. The three games last weekend sort over. You just saw the pitchers. These hitters just saw the pitchers recently, which I think helps the offense. Small ballpark, two pretty good offenses. I will go over the 8.5. As a lean, I didn't actually play it yet, but the more I talk, the more I yap here, the more I actually starting to talk myself into an over 8.5.
All right. I have found something that actually puts me on the same side as you. If we want to fade Hunter Dobbins, How about a Yankees first five team total over 2.5 at even odds?
I like it. I like where your head's at. I think the Yankees will hit Dobbins. That's probably the thing I'm most confident in this game. Cosine. I agree. I like that angle.
All right, let's do it. By the way, if you want to know where the money is really going, head over to VSiN.com because unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from the professional bettors while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of the handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we begin the third and final hour of the show. Stay with us. This is Live Bet Saturday.